Good morning to everybody. It is an honor to be with you today. Always a joy to gather together to worship God. An unprecedented confusion is now permeating the modern world. Everything has seemingly been turned upside down. The older standards of right and wrong have been almost completely interchanged. The winds of culture are blowing fiercely across our land, and the winds are not only whipping down the plains, but across our entire nation. Aristotle once described our challenge as the problem of a fish in water. Knowing nothing but life in the water, the fish never even realizes it is wet. This describes the situation of many Christians in America. They do not even know they are wet. We are swimming in one of the most complex and challenging cultural contexts ever experienced by the church. Every day brings a confrontation with cultural messages, cultural controversies, and cultural products. We are bombarded with advertisements, entertainments, and the chatter of culture all around us. We are Aristotle's fish. The effect is widespread. No one person is immune from this. Families are affected. Moms and dads are affected. Husbands and wives are affected. Children and teenagers and college students are affected. How are Christians to remain faithful as we live in this culture? How should we think about so many of the crucial moral decisions of our day? These questions are not merely academic questions. They touch every church and every Christian family. Our homes are constantly invaded by the culture all around us. Our children are targeted by advertisers in the marketplace of ideas. Entertainment has become a constant symbolized by the latest Apple product and social media outlet. There is no place to hide. Moreover, the pace at which our culture is changing has accelerated over the past several decades. Transformations in the law, government, social morality, and education have accompanied the radical advances in technology and knowledge that mark our era. Like an earthquake that is caused when the tectonic plates on the earth's surfaces begin to shift, we are experiencing seismic shifts in our culture. And we are living in the middle of it. All of the things around us that we see, all of the messages that we hear day by day, we're right in the middle of it. We are in the middle of the social shifts we see around us. We are in the middle of an ongoing light-year leap in technology. We are in the middle of our society questioning every right and wrong. We are in the middle of the fishbowl. And we don't even know we're wet. I have a message for the stick man. Quit smiling. You're drowning. And that describes a lot of us as Christians. We're drowning in the middle of this culture. And we're just going through life thinking everything is okay with a smile on our face. Because if we're not careful, this society will just completely engulf us. It will just completely envelop us. And we will become the society that we live in. We will reflect the morality of our society. We will allow society to answer questions that are reserved for God alone. How are Christians to think about these new cultural challenges? Some Christians prefer not to think seriously about these issues. I'm just going to ignore the culture that's all around me. Ignoring culture is a response of a lot of people, many Christians. But this falls short of an acceptable position. Those who do not think seriously about how Christians should respond to these challenges will find that the dominant culture will simply pull them into its vortex. They will simply fail to live and think as Christians. No one is immune from the impact of culture. Others may think that they can somehow evade the culture. Some develop a bunker mentality. I'm just going to hide out and just wait for the Lord to come back. I'm just going to take my family and I'm going to isolate my family and myself as much as possible and just wait for the Lord to return. This is also an inappropriate response to our challenges that we live in. In reality, it's actually impossible. We may try to remove ourselves and our children from the culture. We may do our best to try to hide from it. But this culture will find us. It will find your kids. We use language, wear clothing, and engage as consumers in a world of continuous cultural invasion. It is impossible to hide from our culture. This culture is a vast network of institutions, laws, and customs, and language that is a constant part of our lives, like it or not. So we've identified two responses to our culture thus far. Some ignore it, others try and hide from it. Both of these responses fall short of what God wants from us. Both of these responses are not what God wants from us as His people. Well, what is left for us to do? Some choose to embrace the culture without reservation. That's what we see out in the world. But this doesn't work either. An honest evaluation reveals that many of the most cherished assumptions of our culture are in direct conflict with the teachings of Jesus. So to just embrace culture and just have the mentality, I'm just going to go with the flow, what everybody else is doing, that's what I'm going to do. What everybody else believes in, that's what I'm going to believe. And to just allow culture to set the pattern for your life, that is not an adequate response. We cannot accept the idea that we are what we consume and possess. We cannot accept the denial of human dignity that underlies the cultural's acceptance of the destruction of human life. We cannot buy into the myth of autonomous individualism. We cannot compromise with a worldview based on the assumption that truth is relative or socially constructed. So what is left for us to do? If we can't ignore culture, if we can't hide from it, and it's also inappropriate to just all out embrace it, what is left for us to do as the Lord's people? I urge you to remember that our Lord gave His church an evangelistic commission. We are to be ambassadors for Christ. We represent Jesus' interests right here on earth. When Jesus came down to earth, He represented His Father. And you could look to Jesus and examine His life, and you learned who God was. If you knew Jesus, you knew the Father. If you didn't know Jesus, you did not know the Father. That described the Pharisees of His day. And so Jesus, when He came down here to earth, He brought God and God's interests with Him. And Jesus passed that on to His disciples, and now it's left to His church. This church that has an eternal purpose in the mind and in the heart of God. And so we represent Jesus right here in this life. We represent Jesus in this culture that we live in. And so we do our best to not ignore culture, to not hide from it, to not just embrace it. We do our best to bring Jesus into this culture, to show people that there's something different, something beyond what we see day in and day out, something beyond what is modeled by so many people in the world. We are ambassadors for our Savior. And so we do our best to reach through this fog of culture and share the good news. The adult class here in the auditorium, we are continuing to make our way through the Gospel of John. And this morning we looked at the blind man, the man who was blind from birth, who was healed by Jesus. And everybody was trying to get him to change his story. Everybody was basically just trying to get him to shut up. And that's what culture probably would want from us. As ambassadors for Jesus, you guys just go in your corner. You guys just ignore us. Just hide out. Just don't bother us. That's what culture would like. And that's what people wanted from the blind man back in the first century. The religious leaders, they didn't want to hear anything about Jesus healing him. The neighbors were questioning him, wondering if it was even the same guy back in his home place. Even his parents, they didn't all out embrace him. This man, he kept sharing his story. He kept sharing good news. And when he was questioned by the Pharisees and the religious leaders, and they're just interrogating him, he just finally says to them, this is what I know, and this is all that matters to me. Though I was blind, now I see. He had good news that he couldn't keep to himself. And for us, living in this culture that we live in, we have good news to share. And so that's the response that God needs from us. That's the response that God wants from us. Not to ignore culture, not to hide out from it, not to just embrace it, but to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Every single person we will try to reach with the gospel is embedded in some culture. Understanding this culture thus becomes a matter of evangelistic urgency. To ignore culture is to ignore our mission as Christians. To hide from Christians is to hide from culture is to hide from our responsibility as Christians. And then to embrace culture is to fail to show Jesus through our lives. So this is what we do. We do our best to understand our culture so that we are prepared to reach individual souls. And isn't it great that Jesus shows us how to do that? Because maybe you think, how in the world can I do that? How can I understand culture so that I'm able to respond to it in an appropriate way? If you told me all of these things are wrong, it's wrong to ignore it, it's wrong to hide from it, it's wrong to embrace it, how do I do anything else? Well, Jesus, he always shows the way. Jesus understood the dynamics of the culture in which he lived. He understood what was going on with the Roman oppression in the first century. He also understood the mindset of the Jews, how they felt about the Gentiles. He understood how the Jews felt about their covenant relationship with God from the Old Testament. Jesus knew what was going on in the first century. And you look at Jesus' life and you see what he did. He didn't try to hide from people. He didn't ignore people. But he didn't embrace everything that they were doing either. And so in his life, as we examine his steps, Jesus shows us how we need to live right here today. Jesus knew what he was entering when he came down here to earth. And I want us to look at a conversation that Jesus has with a lawyer. Because within this conversation, Jesus reveals to us his plan of action. And it serves as a summary of Jesus' ministry. Jesus was confronted one day by a lawyer who asked him this question. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus had just responded to questions from the Sadducees. They were trying to trip him up. The Pharisees, they step up. They see that he has silenced the Sadducees, so they realize it's our time to step up to the plate. And so a lawyer steps forward and asks Jesus this question. Have you ever been asked a loaded question? Have you ever been asked a question where you realize there's really not a good answer? No matter what you say, people are going to still try to nail you? That's what the Pharisees were trying to do right here. This is one of those type questions. Now, just looking at it at the surface, it seems like a great question. And it would have been a great question if it was asked with the right motives. But the Pharisees, they weren't seeking knowledge. They weren't really looking for an answer to this question. They were just trying to set another trap. How would you respond to this question today? If you were talking with somebody, a friend, if somebody had a religious question and they came up to you, what is the greatest commandment in the law? Which one is the great one? If you had to elevate something above the others, if you just had to summarize it, bring it down to a focal point, what is the great commandment in the law? Jesus' response, it not only provided direction for the Pharisees, which they failed to take, but it also provided direction for his disciples. And for us today, now this is big, this is important. Jesus' response to this question provides a path for us to walk to properly engage our culture today. You remember Jesus' answer, don't you? He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. Jesus tells his lawyer, he tells the Pharisees, he tells his disciples, and he tells us that our first priority, this is bigger than anything else, because if you get this right, everything else will fall in place. If we can learn to do this the way Jesus describes, the way Moses prescribed for the Israelites back in Deuteronomy chapter 6, if we can just get this, everything else will fall in place. Your priorities will fall in place. Your family will fall in. If we can just get this. Think about this response in relation to our culture. This culture, whether you know it or not, because of the work of Satan and what Satan is trying to do, this world that we live in, because of the work of Satan, it's after your heart. This culture is after your mind. Heart has to do with passion. Think about your passions in life. What are you passionate about in life? What have you given your heart to? Are you more passionate about your Snapchat thread or God? Young people, which is it? Are you more passionate about the 60-inch flat screen in your living room or God? Are you more passionate about sports or God? Are you more passionate about social connection or connection with God? This culture is after your heart. It's also after your mind. Now, the mind obviously has to do with our thinking. What do you think about on a daily basis? What are you concerned about? Do you think more about your social media likes or God? Do you think more about your standing with friends or your standing with your Heavenly Father? What do you think about on a daily basis? You see, there's a battle that's being waged. A battle that's ongoing, this spiritual warfare that we are in. And what's at stake is your heart and your mind. Because that's what God wants as well. God wants your heart and He wants your mind. He wants to be your passion. He wants to be what you think about continually. But you have to realize culture and Satan are also after these things. This culture wants your passion. It also wants you to think about it nonstop. Now, I want you to think about this. I believe this is a logical step. Doesn't it make sense to us that whoever or whatever has our heart and our mind will also have our soul? Refuse to allow culture to blind you to what matters most. The great commandment in the law is to love God with heart, soul, and mind. Not only must we not lose sight of God, as we look at Jesus' response, we also can't lose sight of people. Because he goes on to say, love your neighbor as yourself. Now get this. This is why we can't ignore culture. This is why we can't hide from culture. This is why we can't just all out embrace culture and just go with the flow. Because if we ignore culture, we ignore people. If we hide from culture, we're hiding from people. And if we embrace culture without reservation, we're failing to show people Jesus. So Jesus, when he was questioned by the Pharisee, by this lawyer, what is the great commandment in the law? Jesus not only describes his ministry, he not only describes his response to the culture he lived in, he also provides a roadmap for us. Love God, love people. These two loves must drive us as we confront the issues of our day. Because we love God, we love people. We care for the well-being of our neighbors. We want to see them come to faith in Christ. We care about marriage, sexuality, and children. We care about the dignity of human life and a host of related issues because we love God first. And this leads us directly to love of our neighbor. In the end, the culture and its challenges, they'll pass away. Make no mistake about it, the winds of culture are blowing, and they're blowing fiercely. But these winds won't blow forever. Jesus, on the other hand, He will endure forever. And God has offered us an eternal solution to our temporary problems. The challenges that we face, the challenges that we see, we are living in the middle of everything that's going on around us. Let's make sure we don't drown. Let's make sure we don't allow this culture to just completely envelop us. We're not here to ignore people. We're not here to hide from people. We're here to share with people what we know and who we know. We address the blowing winds of culture with the good news of Jesus Christ. Though I was blind, now I see. This morning, if we can help you in any way, maybe you're struggling in this culture that we live in. It's easy to do. If we can pray for you and help you, we're here to do that. Perhaps this morning you need to be baptized into Christ. Jesus is the answer. He's the answer to every problem we have. He's the answer to our sin. And by being baptized into Christ, all of our sins are washed away. And we rise up out of that water perfect in the eyes of God. If you need to do that this morning, we're here to help you. Come now as we stand and sing together.